Right now on VFN TV, we're continuing our amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer of Eagle Worldwide Ministries. It's so encouraging, so many inspiring things. As a matter of fact, let's join in now on that interview.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So we're just talking just right now about, you know, understanding that if you're going to move, I mean, if light's going to move, darkness is going to move too, because light actually begins to push back darkness. And so when you're ministering in the kingdom of light and you're shining your light and you're letting your light shine in gross darkness and thick darkness, you know, things are going to respond to you. One of the ways that we've seen that is that, you know, even Paul said, yeah, I warned you day and night with tears for 3 years, that wolves would come in among you and from among you. This is Paul's work for 3 years. And he warned with tears, understanding how darkness works. And he was like, they'll come in and devour you, even from your own number. And so, you know, so often we let our hair down. We think everything, you don't have to work, you know, pay attention anymore. Everything's totally fine. But if you understand raising sheep in the wilderness, a shepherd is always looking, because the wolf goes around like a, Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so you're constantly looking. But he's like warning for 3 years. You know, he warned with tears that something would try to happen and come in. And so I noticed that over the years, there's like so many different ways that the adversary tries to come in, you know, through woundedness. It's so important to be healed, that if you've been hurt, you know, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries says, sometimes the difference between a sheep and a wolf is one is wounded and one's not. That we get healed, we get hurt, and then we don't get healed. And the next thing you know, we start preaching our messages out of hurt, we start prophesying out of hurt, or we start praying out of hurt, and everything's kind of angled to that pain or my past experience or that type of thing, versus like, I just need to get healed.
Absolutely.
You know, biblically, historically, in the Old Testament was that if you had a scab, you couldn't be in the priesthood unless you were healed. You got to be healed first. And God came to heal us. Jesus came to heal us and set us free. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, as you may already be aware, you know, a lot of people know me for the prophetic ministry and that, but I do a lot of deliverance and inner healing.
Awesome.
I do deliverance sometimes right in church, during church. Spiritual warfare, deliverance, right, and inner healing are part of my primary calling. And I think you need to be that if you're prophetic.
Right.
Because you're going to be opposing spirits all the time. You're going to be out in the forefront. You're going to be plowing new ground. You know, right. And anywhere a prophetic voice, a true prophetic voice, a real prophet shows up, right, Jezebel's going to show up to oppose him.
Right.
And you also have the spirit of religion.
Right.
That you got to deal with if you're looking for a move of God.
Right.
C. Peter Wagner said the number one spirit that opposes you is the spirit of religion. Yeah. And try to shut you down.
A religious spirit. They have this knowledge, but they don't know God. I mean, yes. when the Pharisees were looking at God, they called him Beelzebub. They called Jesus Beelzebub. And here they were. They were planned most studied for to know him. Yet fishermen and prostitutes and others recognized him, but they didn't even recognize him. It was a religious spirit was trying to kill him. Eventually, put him on a cross.
Here at the city, here in Pensacola, and I've been a lot of places, different places in the world. This is one of the places where I think there's the most spiritual warfare that I've encountered.
Isn't it crazy?
It is, and I believe that's why the move of the spirit was here, that where good and evil do battle,
right,
at a high place,
right,
at an important place, at a gateway, you know, at the gate to the city,
right,
gate to a region or an area. Those high places are where good and evil do battle.
Right.
And this city has a Jezebel spirit, religious spirit, both that are in the city that are operating real hard. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of things that are trying to bring division within the church community.
Yeah.
It is a difficult place. There's a church on every corner in the city. And sometimes you say, well, you know, I don't have a spirit. I'm a Christian. I can't have a spirit. I'm third generation Pentecostal. I couldn't have a spirit. But, you know, where do you think religious spirit hangs out?
Right.
Religious spirit ain't going to hang out in the go-go joint.
Right.
Religious spirit's going to hang out in church.
Right.
So anytime you go to church, you're going to be attacked by a religious spirit.
Yeah.
And so you have to constantly not only be able to set other people free, and it ain't just about me getting free, it's about me staying free and me continuing to fight.
Right.
The Bible says in Psalm 18 that David, who was the greatest king, the greatest warrior, the greatest worshiper, was quick to go to the throne and quick to go to battle, said, he teacheth my hands to war.
Yeah.
He's trying to teach us how to fight today.
Right.
Try to teach us to have the understanding of the weapons of warfare.
Right.
Because our battles and our enemy is not not individuals, not people.
Right.
This is powers and principalities.
Right.
There's a war that's going on spiritually all around us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn how to fight. We need to know what the weapons of warfare are. I can't fight in the carnal.
Right.
I can't fight in the natural. I'm going to lose.
Right.
I have to be able to fight in the spirit.
Right.
You know, I happen to do a little fighting, and my dad was a boxer. And and on the other side, you know, I fought some.
Right.
But this is a whole different kind of fighting.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And you have to learn how to fight in the spirit. You need to learn how to fight with spiritual weapons and how to use them, how to apply them, how to do battle with them. What is your authority for real? And, and how do you apply that?
Yeah.
And how do you apply it to the spiritual battles that are going on in the air?
Right.
Because there's spiritual battles going on all around us. I don't believe our battles are flesh and blood, but I know that spirits operate through people.
Because they have to have authority to operate, and God's given you authority. So somebody has, and there's enough people willing to surrender their authority over through deception or reality or wanting it, but they have to actually tap into human authority to operate in this earth, right? We're going to come right back to this amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. Listen, comment below. What are your thoughts about what Russ Moyer is sharing, some of the thoughts we're talking about? We want to hear from you. Your comments are very important to us. Comment below. Also, don't forget you can connect to us in the VFNKB community. Go to VFNKBcommunity.com. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
There's been an overemphasis on faith to the point that we sort of sometimes throw our chest out. Faith in God's mercy just requires just a teeny, teeny bit of faith. But it's not your faith, it's His mercy that gets it done. This ought to take a load off your shoulders. If you come up against something that's overwhelming, if you come up against something that's threatening, don't necessarily worry about your faith, worry about His mercy. His mercy endures forever. There's nothing inherent in us that makes us good enough to receive the mercy of God. It is a gift of God. His mercy is on you right now while I'm speaking. There's somebody at home right now, the Holy Spirit is showing me that something has happened to you, and it looks like your life is going to be a lot more difficult in the oncoming days, and you have the breath knocked out of you. But the Lord sent me here this morning to tell you it's not going to get more complicated, it's going to get better.
Once, in a faraway land, there was a child who was hurting and in need. But one day, that child was given a very special gift in a shoebox. Inside were wonderful things, incredible toys he had never seen before. And something else amazing happened. Through that simple gift, the child heard the gospel and became a disciple of Jesus. And everywhere the child went, he shared his faith with others. So just like that, his entire world was transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And this is how millions of children discover good news and great joy through Operation Christmas Child.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I don't believe our battles are flesh and blood, but I know that spirits operate through people.
Because they have to have authority to operate, and God's given you authority. So somebody has, and there's enough people willing to surrender their authority over through deception or reality or wanting it, but they have to actually tap into human authority to operate in this earth, right?
And in addition to doing a lot of deliverance, one-on-one and corporate, and I do conferences where I do open deliverance and conferences. I don't know if you've ever seen that in operation. It gets pretty dramatic.
I have. Are you worried about that when it goes and leaves that person, that it goes and finds another place in that conference?
We do work before and after and during, doing spiritual warfare, cleaning the place and preparing everything.
Because when the spirit leaves a man, it goes and looks for another man or another person, another place to dwell, you know?
We do a lot of battle, a lot of warfare, and I think that most prophetic voices have an understanding of spiritual warfare. If you don't, you're not going to last very long. Because, I mean, it's a battle and there's a war that's going on.
Your first assistant will be Jezebel coming to help you out.
In addition to deliverance, I also do a lot of inner healing. Mama Hug is in our congregation, Kelty. Patty Thorpe Wallace, who was one of Mama Hug's disciples, is now the vice president of Eagle Worldwide and runs Eagle Worldwide Canada operations. She's the vice president of operations. Yeah. A powerful voice of inner healing. Mm-hmm. When I first went there, when I first went to Canada, I was really just about deliverance. Let's get rid of these things and And then I saw that a lot of the people, they could maintain their deliverance better once they received inner healing.
Right.
And one of my best friends in ministry over the years has been Bill Suddeth, who's the head of
Bill
the International Society of Deliverance Ministers.
Right.
I met him at Brownsville and at the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry.
Right.
And him and I have been walking together for 20-something years.
Beautiful.
He's a powerful man of God. He took over the ministry for C. Peter Wagner and his wife, called the International Society of Deliverance Ministers.
Okay.
So we minister together in open conferences, and he comes, and I also do personal individual ministry. Most of that I do on an individual basis are leaders and pastors and their families. You know, because, you know, when you're on the front line, you're going to get hit.
Right.
And we all need one another for a reason and a purpose.
Right.
And you know, the Lord, not only did he save me, but he delivered me and delivered me sovereignly in a very demonstrative way and demonstrated for me the power of deliverance. And and I've been doing deliverance for a long, long time. I appreciate the ministry of deliverance and the purpose of it.
Ministers. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. And so many people left the reality that we can be delivered from that which hinders us, that which oppresses us, that which deceives us, and they try to walk their whole life out in this constant battle, not knowing that God could deliver them from that, right?
20-25% of the ministry of Christ in the earth was
deliverance.
Deliverance.
Yeah.
It's part of his mandate in Isaiah. And part of the commission that he gave us in Mark chapter 16, 15 through 20.
The Lord's Prayer, deliver me from the evil one.
And
right?
We need,
right.
And you know what, we're sitting in the back room at a board meeting, sitting at some religious conference or whatever, trying to figure out whether or not a Christian can have a demon. You know, right. A Christian can have whatever they want.
Right.
In the meantime, while we're trying to argue and debate a religious point, you know, the church is sitting there in bondage.
Right.
They're sitting there in hopelessness and depression, sadness, sorrow, division.
Right.
You know, let's get to work. Let's stop the talk and stop the nonsense.
Right.
It's happening right before your eyes.
Well, that's what's going on, is all the lies the demonic realm is telling believers, and they don't understand. It's not them thinking that. It's the oppression in their life. It's like first person attack. You know, Satan uses the word I and me, and shifts himself into the narrative of your own thoughts. And he says, supposed to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, shield of faith, extinguish all the fiery darts. But people don't understand that there is two things going on. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. It's always gonna happen. Even with Jesus, Satan left him for a more opportune time. You know, and I think we've been trying to fight a battle, even Galatia was, they started free and believing and following God, and they ended up in works of the flesh. Well, he said, who bewitched you? Who cut in you? You were running a good race.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to bring in deliverance, really a problem, to get free from everything they turned. They were right when they started, and somebody cut in on them and started telling you need to do this, and you need to do this, and this religious thing came in, and it cut in on them. That's where God talks about the works of the flesh versus the works of the spirit. And maybe the American church has, we've gotten to a place where we think we got everything figured out, and now we're just doing it versus where we started and believing.
It's the most dangerous place you can be.
It's amazing. Yeah.
When you think you got to figure it all out.
Yeah.
You know, I see it in America. Mm-hmm. I see it in Canada. I see it in nations of the world. Mm-hmm. I do deliverance wherever I go. And I believe that it's a primary call in our time and season. It's an end time ministry, mm-hmm. and we need to get about the work of the ministry and the work of Christ in the present day. And you know, there's going to be a great harvest that's coming.
Right.
And in the midst of that, people are going to come in with all kind of problems,
right.
Situations, circumstances.
Right.
And they may say a nice little pretty little prayer, and they may even really come to the Lord legitimately.
Right.
But they're going to still need to get cleaned up. A lot of demonic spirits are going to have to come out.
Right.
Somebody's going to have to minister to them.
Right.
And in the meantime, we need to be training up, raising, equipping, empowering deliverance ministers and inner healing ministers.
Right.
And I've raised up a lot of them, teams in every one of our churches. Right. Joanna Adams, who is with the ISDM, but is also a pastor of our church.
Right.
Called Eagle's Nest Fellowship in Ancaster.
Mm-hmm.
And she's written books about it, and she moves in deliverance, and she coordinates her teams in the different churches and in the region.
Right.
And people come from all other places to get deliverance from the teams that we've raised up.
Right.
Because so many places don't believe in it.
Right.
They don't talk about it.
Right.
Some of these places don't even think there's a hell, let alone the devil.
Right.
Right. And because of our ignorance, the people are destroyed. And if there's anywhere that scripture is true, it's in the ministry of deliverance.
Mm.
And in the spiritual warfare in the demonic realms, and not knowing how to fight, not knowing how to do battle.
Right.
All of these things are very important aspects, because now's the time of war and roses.
We're going to come right back to this amazing interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. Listen, comment below. What are your thoughts about what Russ Moyer is sharing, some of the thoughts we're talking about? We want to hear from your comments, are very important to us. Comment below. Also, don't forget, you can connect to us in the VFNKB community. Go to VFNKBcommunity.com. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 Wisdom Nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Now's the time of War and Roses.
Right. Talk about that. Your book is War and Roses, right? And you can get this book. You're seeing it on the screen right now. Tell us about this.
The Lord birthed that in the midst of a great season of war and battle that was going on in me, in a season of adversity. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the time being now and the fights that are going on and all the conflicting things that are going on in the world, mm-hmm. you know, in the political arena, in the times and the seasons, and not being able to discern them and see them,
right.
What still has to happen. People started sending me end time prophecy books, mm-hmm. that they weren't rooted at all in the Word of God, and
right.
and people need to hear what still needs to happen in mm-hmm. order for this to happen, or what's the timetable, what's
right.
the season of God. I believe that He's raising up the sons of Issachar right now,
yes.
and they're going to be the leaders in yeah. our generation. Ooh. You know, the sons of Issachar knew what it was, what the time and the season was,
yeah.
and knew what it was that Israel was supposed to do.
Right.
And this is the new breed of leader that's coming over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be prophetic in knowing not just how to prophesy, but how to do battle, how to do war. What
right.
season is it in the kingdom of God?
Right.
What things still need to happen and what's on the horizon?
Right.
We're in the midst of chaos and anarchy all over
yeah.
the earth.
Right.
There's a battle that's raging.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, God's going to make a path forward.
Right.
But we're going to have to know the timing of God, the solutions of God, the moment in God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have people who are walking on the prophetic edge.
Right.
We lost the prophetic side of the church for many years.
Right.
And we were pastors and teachers, and they were okay. Every now and then we could deal with an evangelist unless
right.
they got too radical.
Right.
But now when you come down to prophets and apostles, that's right. a whole different story.
Right.
And most of the church still doesn't believe that.
Right.
And you know what we need is that prophetic voice that's mm-hmm. the eyes and the heart and the voice of the Lord.
The government and the prophetic working together.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because if the prophetic is the visionary mm-hmm. part and portion of the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
it was like the blind leading the blind without the prophetic
right.
in the church.
Right.
No wonder they're going to
uh-huh.
fall in a hole.
Right. Uh-huh.
We need to be in that timing, in that moment, in that season.
Well, you know, some of the things that we're seeing is when we gather together, the church, when we gather together, we were supposed to gather together in love and honoring God and spending together. There's something spiritual about eating together and just spending this time together. That we've seen God do some pretty powerful things without us, even the Holy Spirit doing things. That one example, we were gathered together in a house, and everybody came over for a gathering, and we're having meals, and we're eating together, and people are just, you know, decompressing from what happened in the weeks or whatever, just loving everybody. Well, somebody came as a leader in a local, well-known traditional church that came over on that particular gathering, and immediately just started talking about things like things we were doing wrong, things that wasn't right, you know, and we're just the church, get something to eat, oh great, we ate together, you know, and then we actually went over and began to worship God, you know, no hype, no extra whatever, no drummer, we begin to worship God, and the Holy Spirit manifests Himself for us, and you know, we have music playing, and He manifests Himself, the glory of God is so strong, that this leader in this local traditional church begins to cry out, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. And several men had to go and lead that man to the Lord right there in the presence of the power of God.
Praise the Lord.
When we function as the church, the Holy Spirit shows up and everything happens. Another particular man, he's watching VFN family TV that we have, we're broadcasting, God showing us in the early days how God was going to use it and anoint it. And he was kind of half asleep, and he was living with his girlfriend at that particular time. And I'm talking to him about, specifically about God, and I came down, I said, and I pointed right at the camera, I said, in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit took the finger of God and shoved it right into his gut. He's like, whoop, he shot up, right? And gave his life to the Lord, married his girlfriend, and they're married to this day. The power of God. Another particular man, he didn't want to be, somebody brought him to the same kind of situation. He didn't want to be there. You know how people think they're doing a favor. Like, I just brought the demoniac who doesn't want to get delivered to the gathering, right? And so he was, we ate together. We'd prayed. Now we're gonna watch this message coming from VFN Family TV. That's what we do inside of Vine Fellowship Network, right? And so it came time for this message, and he fell asleep. He fell asleep like this. His head's hanging back on this big chair. People were sitting on the side of him and all that. And so he's asleep. So you have the power. So he's not connected to what's going on physically, but the spirit was on him. I said, I was talking about empty houses, open doors, and how that, you know, Satan can come back and be seven times worse. He get delivered. And so right there on television, I say, in the name of Jesus, come out. And he comes from a dead sleep. He's like this. He goes, and he gets delivered right there.
Amen.
And the lady sitting beside, she slid all the way across. She's like, oh my gosh. Amen. That's how we're supposed to be. That's the normal thing we're supposed to be as the church, right? But it seems like we start getting traditional, and we start getting these things. We lose all those attributes of just embracing the Holy Spirit, loving each other, and watching. Another particular guy literally comes in to bring harm to one of the members of the church. Was coming in there to destroy this particular person. Came a long ways to do it. They came and they ate. They came and we began to worship. As soon as we began to worship, he could not even stand in the presence. So he literally began to just, that thing that was on him was taking him and saying, you cannot be here. And literally God ran him off, and he would even come nowhere near that place again. And this big strong man, and he would stand at a distance and talk from a distance like, oh, okay, yeah. And he wouldn't come near because the fear of God was on him for coming anywhere near the church. Well, guess what? Today, he's a believer in the love of God. Isn't that awesome? Listen, I hate to interrupt, but listen, we're going to come back for this full interview. Join us in our next program. We're going to finish the interview with Dr. Russ Moyer. It gets better from here. But I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray a blessing over our audience. God, I thank you for them right now as they're watching on their televisions, watching on their online presence, everywhere they are around the world, God. Encourage them, Father God. All those that are abiding with you, Lord, inspire them with your voice, Father God. We thank you for those that need healing, that need encouragement. God, encourage them. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.